Hello and welcome to the More Confidence with Luna Gaia podcast. I am your host, Lunaria Gaia, and here we talk all things body image, self-esteem, your thinking and your mind. How do you connect true to you in every part of who you are? I want you to know that all of you is welcome, so sit back and relax and listen to today's episode. Sending you love. Can trauma be a good thing? Hi, and welcome to episode 146 of the More Confidence with Luna Gaia podcast. I am your host, of course, Lunaria Gaia, and we're talking about a big subject today. Do you think trauma could possibly be a good thing? I suppose fair warning to everybody here, this could be a little triggering and it could piss you off a lot. So strap in and let's get started. Before we do, I would love for you to do me a favor. I'm on a mission to help as many people as possible as I can to feel more confident, more secure in themselves, get rid of their negative self-talk, and to love themselves more fully. And every time that you hit subscribe, every time that you hit like, I get to get closer to that mission. Now, I'm not doing that necessarily for me. I'm doing it so as many people as possible can get access to this life-changing work. So I would love for you to go hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button. It'll go out there in the world and it helps more than you could possibly ever imagine. So thank you for doing that. And you know what? Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you being here. This is your time. This is your energy. This is the space where you can come, where all of you is welcome. And we talk some, maybe sometimes pretty big ideas around some of the subjects that riddle us, really, that keep us contained. There are things in this world that can be quite taboo to talk about in these day and age. And I'm breaking those taboos because I think they're worthwhile having a conversation. And so this one, strap in, may very well be a big one. It could piss you off. And I can hear people already, based on some of the shitstorms that I cause on Twitter with some of my content around changing your language can change your experience of reality. Some people are really not going to like this. And you know what? If right now you're listening or watching to this episode and you think to yourself, oh my God, this chick has got no idea, then it's okay for you to turn it off. But if there is any level of curiosity that you're experiencing right now about maybe, potentially, can trauma be something that can propel us? If you're like, huh, if you're thinking, well, maybe I want to look at what I've experienced in my life in a different way, then I say tune on in. I say pour yourself a cup of tea, put in your headphones, go for a walk, whatever it is that you do when you listen to your podcasts. I like to go for a drive when I'm on the road. I like to listen to my podcast then, or even when I'm working out in the gym. So no matter where you are listening and watching this episode right now, let's have this conversation. I know you might hate me. I know you might not like this. And I think that's okay. I think discomfort is something that we are so avoidant of in this day and age. And the fact that we have safe spaces and trigger warnings, I think started out to be a really beautiful thing. I think that, you know, the idea that we want to be able to create a space where people feel welcome, that we're aware of people's traumas, that people are triggered, I think is a really beautiful thing. I really do. And I don't want to go back into a world where we don't talk about mental health or that we tell everybody to just toughen up and get on with it, because that's not practical advice either. What I'm seeing is a huge swing. You know, it's what, 2023 odd now. So even 20 years ago, you know, when I was in my early 20s, 20, 25 years ago, you couldn't talk about mental health in the way that you can now. If you were seeing a therapist, you were considered crazy. To be frank, I think that you're crazy if you don't see a therapist. Like, why are we not getting help with unpacking our traumas, right? But even 20 years ago, the fact that I would say that you hear voices in your head, as in your internal narrative, was considered clinically insane. Whereas now we just know it to be normal. Everybody's got a voice in their head. In fact, we probably have multiple voices in our head. They are our inner narrative. Now, if you're experiencing voices that are outside of you and that are, you know, on the point of psychosis, then I recommend going and seeking some treatment. That's always a caveat with any of this kind of stuff. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm a coach, and I help people to change the way that they see the world through things like NLP, through different strategies that I have developed over my life and my career to be able to help you move forward from where you are. Because as I said, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, all of the mental health conversations that we are now having was completely taboo. And I don't want to go back there. I don't know about you, but I certainly don't want to go back to a place where you can't talk about mental health, where you can't have a conversation about your feelings or your experiences of abuse or trauma, or that your parents weren't there for you. I don't want to go back there. What I've seen is a pendulum swing. So we've gone from this real extreme of you're not allowed to talk about anything, you're not allowed to do anything. And now I see this kind of other swing of like, we are now hypersensitive to the fact that somebody might get upset or triggered, and that that's possibly the worst thing in the world. And I don't think it is. I don't think that being triggered is a bad thing. I don't think that being uncomfortable is a bad thing. Now, look, let's face it. If somebody is physically or emotionally abusing you, then you being uncomfortable is a way for you to set some boundaries. Solid. But somebody having a different opinion to you that pisses you off is not a bad thing. It's just part of life. I think that what I'm really noticing here is that people are becoming identified with their trauma. They are now, oh no, you don't understand. I'm a XYZ. And they put a label on who they are. And they become fully identified with the trauma that they've experienced. And as a result of that, they remain there. Everybody's circumstances are different. I understand this. When we are in the mode that says, I am a victim, even if you've been victimized, you don't have to have the identity of I am a victim. You could say I was a victim or I was victimized. Somebody did do something to you that wasn't great. And I'm going to talk about the difference between big trauma and little trauma in just a moment. But we find ourselves labeling. I'm seeing it everywhere. People are labeling themselves and almost using it as a badge of honor about the traumas that they've experienced. That does not help you to move beyond it. And I'm not here to say that we need to, quote, get over it. That is not what I'm referring to here. I'm not going back 40 years and saying, you just got to get on with it. Pull your socks up. Up you go. What's wrong with you? But that is damaging. So is, I can't do anything because this bad thing happened to me. Or you can't say anything in front of me because this bad thing happened to me. Or I might get offended, or I might get upset, or I disagree with you. We can't be friends anymore. That pendulum swing from you can't talk about it to now you still can't talk about it. Other people can't talk about their experiences sometimes because the victim is going to get triggered. Let's, for a moment, talk about big T and little T. So big trauma, because obviously trauma is a big subject with lots of nuances in there. It's a huge spectrum. Everything from my parents weren't there for my graduation. You know, they weren't there when I skinned my knee, or they told me to suck it up when really I was having a really tough time. The kind of emotional micro traumas that we all experience. Childhood is rife with them. We can't avoid them. People letting us down, our parents not being there for us. Certainly emotional trauma happens to most of us in childhood because our parents were busy doing shit and we weren't able to get our needs met the way that we did. So we created survival mechanisms, and very often that was a result of our trauma. So that's kind of like little T. They're the disappointments that we've had. People have let us down. Maybe there's been, those kind of little moments. When I say little, doesn't mean that they're not impactful on us. They can be hugely impactful on us. In fact, I think that the little T's can have so much more impact on us because we tend not to notice them. We aren't aware of them as much. And so sliding along that spectrum might be that, you know, somebody bullied you at school, or, you know, for me, maybe what I might consider like to be a kind of mid-range trauma for me personally, like getting slapped on the ass at a school dance, or not getting slapped on the ass at a school dance because everybody thought I was fat and ugly. You know, like that could be a trauma for me. All the way through to the big stuff. You know, we're talking abuse, we're talking violence, we're talking sexual violence, we're talking abduction, we're talking big stuff on the really high end of the spectrum. There's a really big gauge there. For the most part of this conversation, even though I'm going to touch on like the really big, like the capital big BT kind of like trauma, the capital big Ts, for the most part, I want to talk about like our everyday kind of trauma. Our everyday kind of trauma and the relatively heavier stuff. Yeah. Not necessarily the super big stuff, but our traumas in general. We become identified with them. Oh no, I'm a survivor of X. I have this experience going on for me, so you don't understand me. That's why the whole world has to pander to my needs right now, because I'm afraid of the dark. So now wherever I go, there always has to be lights on wherever I go, because don't you know, my brother traumatized me as a child. Which, by the way, he did. For years and years, I'm the youngest of five. I grew up with four older brothers and I'm the only girl. So I was tormented a lot by my siblings. And when I actually kind of think about it from an adult context, I'm like, they were some messed up shit. Like I was locked out on a balcony for 3 hours in the middle of Canberra winter, which hits about 6 degrees during the day, in a leotard. I was held down a lot by my siblings, but one brother in particular, in quote play, but I was held down against my will. Very, very often that happened to me as a child. And so my feelings around men being able to overpower me was really, really strong. I have a very distinct memory of going to bed one night, lying there. My mom comes in and says good night. I'm falling asleep. However many minutes later, there's a voice, a whisper, Luna. Luna. It was actually Katie, by the way. My birth name is Katie. Lunaria Guy is the name that I rebirthed myself with several years ago. But to tell the authenticity of the story, it was actually Katie. And I was like, did I hear that? I remember laying there, didn't hear it again. Okay, go back to sleep. And then I'd feel a poke up through the mattress. Terrified, right? And I'm still, no, okay, am I imagining it? Am I imagining? I don't know. It was dark. And he waited then. This went on for like 20 minutes. He'd wait patiently for me. For years, even when I hear that word Katie whispered in that way, it freaks me out. Now, we can't say that that's not trauma. I couldn't sleep with an under the bed. Like I needed an ensemble or stuff filled within under the bed until I was in my like mid to late 20s. I was genuinely terrified. The feeling of being held down, which I was held down a lot, and my face was covered, even when it came to the pandemic and having to wear face masks and stuff, I was considerably triggered by that whole experience because I was held down a lot as a child. Was I violently abused or violently sexually assaulted or sexually assaulted at all under those circumstances by my siblings? Not that I remember. Does that mean it's not traumatic? You bet your sweet bippy it doesn't. Those shit's scary. And we all have those experiences of traumas that we can remember in our life that impact our human experience right now. All of us have trauma. I want you to know that. That's why I believe that all of us should be in some form of therapy. Be that counseling, psychology, Reiki, kinesiology, be that going to a psychic or going to a coach, whatever it is that your therapy is, learning how to surf, go talk about and feel your problems because we all have them. All of us. And anybody who tells you that they don't have trauma or any kind of problems is lying to themselves. Nobody gets out of childhood without marks. Nobody gets out of life without marks. We all have had disappointment and heartache. The question that I posed in the beginning of today's episode is, can trauma be a good thing? Can it? that lack of emotional support, me being pinned down a lot as a child, even just my parents not being there for me from a place of lack of emotional support, which I'm sure that you've experienced as well. All of that, well, we go, well, why would that be a good thing? We don't want that. We don't want to be disappointed and have failure and fear and all that kind of stuff. Let's, for a second, just imagine a utopian reality. We have a utopian reality whereby all our traumas are healed. So we're not passing it on intergenerationally. Like, you know, our parents aren't projecting their crap onto us. They're whole and healed. And everyone is self-aware and conscious, right? So everybody has this level of self-awareness. Nobody hurts anybody else's feelings. There's enough room for emotional availability from everybody. We don't live in a world where it's like hustle bustle, have to get everywhere. Every time you skin your knee, you have a loving parent there to help guide you through that, both with inside of yourself or like externally with skinning of your knee, but emotionally, everything's been available to you. There's no projections. There's no disagreements. There's no failure. There's no disappointment. Do you think that we would be better off? Do you think the world, this world, would be like this earth plane that we live in right now? Would we be better off without those things? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Now, look, I think that it's really useful for us to minimize intentional trauma. In fact, if we could eradicate intentional trauma, happy days. You know, I'm talking about violence. I'm talking about abuse. I'm talking about deliberate acts of violation to other people. Even though I believe that those things can still be helpful in our growth, and I'll get to that shortly, ideally, we don't have those things. But what we're seeing in today's society now is that people aren't allowed to come second. That in competitions around schools these days, they don't have competitions anymore because everybody's a winner, right? You're getting a medal, you're getting an award just for showing up. Now, I don't have anything wrong with getting an award for just showing up, and I don't think that we should be hyper-competitive. But the thing is that healthy competition makes us all improve. It's fun. There is a sense of fun that comes with growing a skill. If you listen to last week's episode 145 about happiness being our responsibility, I was talking about how progress is one of the factors to make us happy. And so if we're not ever being challenged, we don't grow. We don't evolve. And that doesn't leave us feeling very good. We like the experience of being challenged. If you always win, then what's the point of playing? Because success is a very poor teacher. It really doesn't teach us very much to win every time. We learn most things through disappointment, through failure, through rejection. If we didn't have rejection and we got everything that we always wanted at every single point in time, considering the amount of conflicting experiences that everybody has, it's an impossibility. Because just say I'm attracted to Sarah and I want to date Sarah and I get what I want because I'm not allowed to be disappointed and I'm not allowed to have my feelings hurt. And so I get what I want and Sarah dates me. But just say Sarah doesn't want to date me. What happens then? What happens when Sarah doesn't want to date me? Is my happiness more important than her happiness? How does that work? The rejection that we might experience from not getting a job or having somebody not like us or having a friend say that they don't want to be friends with us anymore teaches us resilience. It shows us how we get back up again. You go look at any child who is learning new things. A child who is learning new things is making lots of mistakes. They're getting rejected. They are getting disappointed. They are failing a lot. It is not the failure and the disappointment and the rejection and the conflict and the lack of winning the failure that makes a difference. What actually makes the difference is how we learn to deal with that. That's the world that I want to see us living. Not that we're avoiding triggers because somebody might get their feelings hurt. I want people to know how to deal with getting their feelings hurt. Because my sisters, brothers, and others, in this world, it is full of contrasts. There is night, there is day. There is sound, there is silence. There is up, there is down. This is the world that we currently live in. There is contrast in this earth plane. In all ways, shapes, and form, the tide goes in, the tide goes out. We have contrast everywhere, and that's what makes this human existence so bloody beautiful. Look at this background right now. If everything was white, if everything here, every book, every image, everything behind me was just white, you wouldn't be able to determine what anything was. Whether or not you like the background, whether or not you think that you would pair the black with the colors and the white that's there, is irrelevant. The contrast is what makes things interesting. Because if everybody just agreed, if everybody had the same opinion, if nobody was ever getting hurt and everybody just thought the same way and dressed the same way, if nobody was different, that would mean we have no contrast and it would be boring. Not only would it be boring, there would just be nothing of interest to it. You go look in nature. So all you have to do is no tree that's the same as the other. Even when they've been bred to be, even when they've been planted in exactly the same spot, the same place, it'll have its own mind. And that's a beautiful thing. It's not, can we make sure that no one's feelings are getting hurt? It's how do we figure out how to deal with hurt feelings? That's a so much more powerful conversation. And that's why I think trauma is a good thing. Because it is in those moments that we are able, we have an opportunity to learn how to deal with it. And now, for most of us, including me, I didn't have parents who could teach me how to do that in the interim. But that's why we're on this kind of situation. We're here in a podcast right now and you are learning this stuff. That's why we go to therapy. It's why we read books. It's why we do personal development. It's why we work with a coach. Because now we get to learn. Not how to avoid the triggers, not how to avoid disappointment, not how to not feel the things, but how do we process the feelings of the things? Rejection shows us that there is protection. Disappointment shows us what we actually care about. Failure can give us the drive to be able to move towards something that's deeper and more meaningful for ourselves. If you got everything that you wanted in a blink of an eye without doing any work for it, you wouldn't care about it. That's the thing. Generally, when things come easy to people, we value it less. Now, ideally, we don't want it to be such a bloody hard struggle that it feels like you're clawing your way from the pits of hell. But there are plenty of examples in our society and in our world where people have done that. Even with big, big traumas, massive traumas, people who have been abducted, people who have, you know, been taken as sex slaves, people like who have been shot in the face, people who have been burnt with acid. The difference between those people who go on to make something of that and those that crawl into a hole is their attitude. It's their ability to be able to recover from something like that and to grow from it. I don't believe that we ever get over anything. Of course we don't. My brother died back in when I was 27 years old, that brother who would torment me. What I wouldn't give to have him torment me again, right? Spirit, John, ease up. You don't need to. But like when he died and I was 27 and he was 28, that was so freaking traumatic for me. It was so sudden. One moment he was there. A month later, you know, he got a brain tumor diagnosis, and a month later he was dead. That was incredibly traumatic for me and my entire family. And it actually ripped my entire family apart. we didn't come together. It wasn't this beautiful bonding experience that I've seen other families have, like where they just come closer together. No, for me, it was an absolute circus, and it almost continues to be 13 years down the line. Yet that experience of my brother dying, I'm grateful for. I never wanted him to die early or at 28. But considering I did have that experience, I'm so grateful for it, because what I made it mean, and what meaning we place on things, we are meaning maker machines. What I made it mean over a period of time, I dealt with the grief, I processed the grief. Over a long period of time, grief takes its own course. I grieved. I continue to grieve as necessary. I got the help that I needed. It was an absolute horror-filled time for many, many years after his death. But what occurred to me during that whole process and ever since then is that getting old is not a guarantee. That I might not get to 30, let alone 40 that's coming up at the end of this year for me. He never got to 29. He never got to 29, let alone 30 or 40 or 50, however old you are listening to this podcast. What I took from that experience was that I need to go live my life. The life is short, and I don't want to waste it worrying about my fat rolls or my wrinkles. I don't want to worry about what other people thought about me. And so it set me on this trajectory of self-love. It set me on a trajectory of living my life the way that I want to. And I honestly don't believe that I'd be sitting here before you as I am right now if it wasn't for his death. That trauma was a very good thing for me, because the meaning that I placed on it, the way that I dealt with it, the way that I decided to grow from that experience rather than be crippled by it. Like I said earlier in this episode, rather than identifying with the trauma of like, I'm a survivor of my brother's brain cancer or something like that, rather than using that kind of language. And for some people, that language really works and it helps propel you. Rock on. For me, it wasn't gonna. But when we have an identity where we're like, no, you don't understand. I can't deal with other people's brothers because I lost mine. And now I'm super sensitive to brothers. And I want the whole world to stop using the term brotherhood because my brother died. And I didn't get to have him as a brother. That's asking the world to adjust to not hurt my feelings, rather than me adjusting my world to make sure I know how to deal with my hurt feelings. It's a much different perspective, and there's much more power in that. You become empowered rather than be a victim of what happened to me. I'm a victor. I am powerful. I get to make those choices. Did it suck for a period of time? Abso-friggin-lutely. Was I a mess? Did I have no idea what was going on? Did I cry daily? Was I in miserable pain? Was it some of the most awful experience that I've ever had in my life? Yes. I'm grateful for it because of the decisions that I made to grow from it rather than let it define me in a negative way. My brother's death definitely defined me. Absolutely. The pre-John dying and the post-John dying, this version, completely different. And I'm so grateful for that. And we all can be. Go get the help. Talk through it. Go to your therapist. Do what you need to do to deal with the emotion. But please stop identifying with your trauma. Please take yourself away from the viewpoint that says that I am a victim. You may have been victimized by things that have happened. Shit shows may have happened to you as a child. It's very, very likely. It's okay. You are now an adult and you get to make different decisions. Who do you want to be? How do you want to be known for? And what do you want to be the defining moments in your life? You get to decide that. And I think that we can use our traumas to propel us. I think that we can use it as fuel to our proverbial fire to just really ignite within us who we actually really want to be in our lives. We have that power to do that. I trust that you are still here. If you are still here, thank you very much for being here. And I'd love to know your thoughts on this. What do you think? Shoot me through an email at loveyourself@moreconfidence.com.au. That's loveyourself@moreconfidence.com.au. Shoot me through an email. I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on any of these episodes. You can send me a DM on the socials. Lanaria Gaia is where you'll find me. That's my name. And of course, hit that follow and subscribe button for more episodes. We go live with a new episode every single week. If you have any topics that you would like me to talk about, anything that's got you food for thought that you'd like me to riff on, please, again, shoot me through an email or send me a DM. And of course, hit that follow and subscribe button. I love you. I hope you love you too. In the meantime, until next time, happy self-loving. Mwah. Thank you so much for listening to the More Confidence with Luna Gaia podcast. I hope you feel more confident, more self-assured, and ready to go tackle the world's problems and maybe kick ass in some of your dreams. If you haven't already, I would love for you to like and subscribe, follow, and maybe leave a review so that other people know how to find this awesome podcast too. If you're wanting to sink your teeth into something even more juicy, my number one best-selling book, Perfectly Imperfect, Your Complete Guide to Loving Yourself and Loving Your Body, is now available on all good bookstore sites, both in print, digital, and I narrated it for Audible as well. If you think that coaching or maybe one of my courses is for you, why not head to www.moreconfidence.com.au and get in touch and see if we can talk. And of course, you can find me all across the social medias. That's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, which is where you're probably listening now, or maybe even here on the podcast platform. Sending you big love and wishing you a beautiful day.